Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus.
Today's scripture is a Christmas scripture from a very familiar passage from the Old Testament found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and following. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." This passage really describes the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, it talks to us about a child being born and a son is given. What a great description. That's sort of like the human side. The child is born, but there's also the divine Son of God. A son is given. And then, of course, he's in control of everything. So that talks about governments, talks about some of the mysteries he has. He's a counselor. He's the mighty God. He's an everlasting Father. He's going to take care of us as a father takes care of his family. He's a Prince of Peace, and he will be in charge even to the end of the age. And so these are just wonderful descriptions of our Lord Jesus Christ and the functions that he has now and will have here in the future with all of us as we are in his presence. What a great time to worship God and thank him for all his blessings and benefits. What a great time to get together with other believers and just worship and praise his name for all his goodness and all his grace and all the love that he's bestowed upon each and every one of us. May the Lord bless you throughout this Christmas season.
Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Joy, 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 joy. Jesus Christ was born for this.
He hath owned the heavenly door.
And man is blessed evermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this.
Good day, this is Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go. I would like to continue to share our mission moments during this Christmas season, specifically the vital ministry of Mission Go in the West African country, Sierra Leone. The two areas I would like to share are the ministries to children and young adult education. At the end of the Civil War in Sierra Leone in 2002, it is estimated that only 15 to 20% of the teachers remained in the country. The literacy rate was less than 49% in 2024. We continued working to address the critical educational needs in communities that struggled with resources and access to education. The focus was to meet the need for physical education while building relationships which would allow us to share the gospel. Mission Go established a certified school for girls in 2019 called the Institute Place Secondary School in Mokanji. This school allows Christ-centered education while meeting the legal standards. Many students come from a wide variety of non-Christian homes, yet they are hearing the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ on a daily basis. This year, in addition to IPSS, a new primary school for boys and girls was opened, providing the strong educational foundation to set our students up for success in the area of studies for future careers. Our school follows the national curriculum, yet with the exception of phonics. This phonetic approach to reading and the inner inclusion of Bible classes and biblical memorization are additions. The land for the school was gifted to Mission Go by a local. The family of a neighboring villages shows a great interest because of the positive impact that Mission Go has had in the community in supporting the needs of the people. Each year, our ministry in Sierra Leone graduates over 600 students in our high schools throughout the country. These students go to various provinces, and we provide evangelism, evangelist teachers, church planters, nurses, and parental training. The impact of a solid biblical education is limitless. Mission Go has people on the field today serving to connect with the people for showing the love of Christ, supporting the care and education of these young people to become citizens in this country with a solid biblical education. Please continue to pray with us for these people and the needs of these people and this country.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big." Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A solemn song high above the tree with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big." Shepherd boy to the mighty king, "Do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver."
This Christmas season, we would like to make available a booklet about peace, a devotion series by Robert Strand. The Greek word eirene is pronounced eirene, meaning peace, prosperity, quietness, rest, or to be set at one with yourself again. Maybe we have reason to despair when a historian has pointed out that about 85% of all human history concerns itself with war and conflict, personal, national or worldwide. But in this cynical, weary, war-torn, strife-filled world, there is a positive message in regards to peace and the author of peace. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, is Isaiah 9:6. Peace has come even into the midst of war. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23, to order your copy of the booklet Peace, a devotion series by Robert Strand. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R707, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour.
We wish to bless your life with these messages. For any more questions about messages or information on this broadcast, you can email tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Feel free to write to Tammy directly as the producer.
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson, and printed copies are available upon request.
Whether you know it or not, someone, somewhere is watching how you handle your life. It could be a member of your family, a business associate, a casual acquaintance, a friend at school, or perhaps someone you don't even know. That being the case, are you leaving trails of which you're not ashamed? Every person has the power to make others happy or even miserable. Some do it by simply entering a room, and others by leaving the room. I have a friend who leaves a trail of great enthusiasm. Hours after a phone call from him, I still feel great. Another friend leaves a trail of optimism. After only a brief conversation with him, I feel better. He always makes my day. One friend enriches my day by always leaving a trail of kindness. Cheerful smiles are his trademark. But there are some individuals we know who leave trails of gloom. Others leave trails of joy. Some leave trails of hate and bitterness, and others leave trails of love and harmony. Some leave trails of cynicism and pessimism. Others leave trails of faith and optimism. Some leave trails of criticism and resignation. Others leave trails of gratitude and hope. What kind of trails are you leaving in your life? We're studying the book of Philippians, and we come to a very interesting passage of Scripture. At the end of chapter 1, the theme of that chapter, by the way, is the mastery of Christ. Paul says in verse 27, "Only let your conduct be as it is becoming to the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." How can that happen? People of different backgrounds and races and colors and creeds and opinions and desires and plans and purposes, and how can they stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel? Well, when we come to chapter 2, the theme of chapter 2 is the mind of Christ. And when we come to chapter 2, we see in verses 1 and 2 that there are four great encouragements for this kind of togetherness, this oneness, this harmony that must be within the family of God if we're going to make an impact on an unbelieving world out there. Listen to what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1. "If there be," and let me stop and say that the word "if" in the Bible, in the Greek, does not mean, well, it might be, possibly. No, "if" means absolutely, certainty, so you could actually better translate this word, since. It's something that is an absolute assurance given to us in Scripture. Let me read it that way, therefore. Chapter 2, verse 1 of Philippians. Since there be, therefore, consolation in Christ, since any comfort of love, since any fellowship of the Spirit, since any tender mercies and compassions, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You see, Paul has already said in the closing verses of chapter 1 that Christians, those who have been born again of the Holy Spirit, who have been placed in the body of Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, who are members of God's family, who claim the name rightfully, Christian, I am one of Christ's chosen people. I am redeemed. I belong to Him. They are to show by their conduct, their manner of living, and they are to live a life that is becoming to Jesus Christ, that actually brings joy and pleasure to God and brings impact and influence for Christ here on earth. That's why the Bible says we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the God and Savior, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us unto Himself, a peculiar people, or a special people of His own, zealous of good works. We are to live that way. We are to show Christ, and we are to be becoming to the gospel. And then we are to stand and strive together for the gospel's sake, for the faith of the gospel. That means we're to be faithful, we're to stand fast, we're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, and we're to be forceful, we're to strive together. That's actually a word that means, like in athletics, there is one coach, and there is one team, and there is one rule book, and one goal, and we are to strive together in teamwork. The Christian life, the Christian church, the Christian family is not something where individualism is to excel, but togetherness is to excel. We are laborers together with Christ. That's where pride is put aside. The word together is used by Paul. The word with and together is used by Paul 16 times in the book of Philippians, by the way. And then we're not only to be faithful and forceful, we're to be fearless, in nothing terrified by our adversaries, verse 28. And that means we're not to be shy, we're not to be timid, we're not to be afraid, we're not to be ashamed. What it means is your fearlessness makes it evident to your adversaries that the victory is yours, not theirs. It is a sign of their defeat and destruction, and a sign of your victory, and that through God. And so we are to be that, faithful, forceful, fearless, as we stand and strive together, and then, as we saw in our last study, we are to be willing to suffer. It's given on the behalf of Christ. It's actually a gift of grace, not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake, to be willing to suffer, whether it's persecution or whether it's physical sufferings or sufferings that are caused by others in our lives, whatever. We are to be willing to suffer for Jesus. Now, how can the Church of Jesus Christ, how can the body of Jesus Christ function with such unity, standing fast, striving together, one spirit, one mind? Well, he says, chapter 2, verse 1, because of these four beautiful encouragements, there is, first of all, consolation in Christ. I want to talk about that. Secondly, there is comfort of love. I want to talk about that. Thirdly, there is communion or fellowship of the Spirit. And fourthly, there is compassion, deep affection, and sympathy. These are all qualities and characteristics that the Holy Spirit places within the heart and life of every believer, and therefore they are qualities and characteristics that are placed within the body of believers in Christ. And when they are exercised, since they are ours in Christ, when they are exercised, these are great encouragements that produce harmony and beautiful witness for Christ within any given body or family of God anywhere in the world, at any time, under any circumstances. Now, look at them with me. Since there is consolation in Christ, that's a Greek word, paraklesis. It means encouragement or exhortation. It's actually the word helper. It's the same word used for the Holy Spirit when Jesus said, I am leaving and I'm going to give you another paraclete, another helper, another of the same kind, the Holy Spirit, who will come and convict and convert and comfort and console. The Holy Spirit of God makes every believer one in Christ. The Holy Spirit baptizes everyone who believes in Christ the moment they are saved into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we become one in Christ. We are of one body in Christ. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, through one another, basically through the Word of God, but through one another in the body of Christ, encourages, consoles, exhorts, and helps one another. Let me read to you what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You see, that brings us to the second beautiful characteristic here in Philippians 2, and that is, since there is the comfort of love, they're very closely associated, the consolation, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and the comfort of love of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says this God of all comfort does. He comforts us, 2 Corinthians 1:4, in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. Did you hear that? That we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble. How? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. What he means is they equal out. Whatever your suffering is, God gives consolation and comfort through Christ equal to your sufferings. Whatever you have to go through, he is enough, for he will give consolation and comfort equal to the depth or the amount or very type of suffering that you're going through. And Paul says, whether we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And then he says, our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, you shall be also of the consolation. Whatever suffering you go through, God will console and comfort you equally. And then he says, we would not have you ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, how we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, that's salvation, and does deliver, that's present tense, in whom we trust he will yet deliver us. And you also helping together by prayer, that for the gift bestowed upon us by means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. What Paul is saying is, when God comforts us in any trouble we have, in any suffering we have, whatever we go through, we experience his consolation and his comfort, and then we are able to comfort others by the consolation and comfort that we receive from him. What is Paul then saying here in chapter 2 about togetherness, about one spirit, one mind, about being one in Christ and maintaining that beautiful testimony? He says, there is consolation and there is comfort in Jesus Christ. He says, believers can console and comfort one another by using the scriptures, by calling people on the phone and telling them they are going with them in this trial. They are going through it with them. They care about them. They love them. And they console and they comfort. They can write letters and so on. And when believers do this, this is a great unifying thing. Then he says there are two more. Not only is there consolation and comfort of love in Christ, but he says there is communion. There is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That is the word fellowship, that is the word koinonia, which means that that is what Christians love to do. They love to get together and fellowship. Do you know what fellowship is? It is people in Christ enjoying Christ in people. And then there is one more. It is the word compassion. He says, if there be any tender mercies and compassions, that is being just like the Lord in your compassion to one another. Do you know what compassion is? Remember the story Jesus told about the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37? First of all, the thieves had taken this man that was on his way from Jerusalem down to Jericho and had beaten him and stolen everything he had and left him for dead. That's the philosophy of life that says, what's yours is mine and I'm going to take it. And the world is filled with that. And then there were those who passed by. They looked at him and passed by or passed by on the other side. And that's the philosophy that says, what's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it for myself. The world is filled with that. But it was the Good Samaritan, Jesus said, that went by and picked the man up and treated his wounds and put him on his own donkey and took him to the inn and paid for it and then said, you look after him when I come back again, whatever more is owed, I'll pay it to you. That's the philosophy, what's mine is yours and I'll share it. And what God is saying in this passage when he says, fulfill you my joy, verse 2, you be like-minded. He says, you be like that. What's yours is mine, I'll take it, no. What's mine is mine, I'll keep it, no. What's mine is yours and I'll share it. And when Christians exercise consolation and comfort and compassion and communion with one another and encourage one another, and give that beautiful gift of the love of Christ, he said, it is by this the world will know that you're my disciples. That's the key to harmony in the church. In our next lesson, we're going to see not just the encouragements, but the enemies of that harmony. May God make us the kind of people that he alone can make us to be to make an impact for Christ in this world.
We at Mission Go pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible in the book of Matthew 11, 28 to 29. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. Remember to order your copy of the booklet Peace, a devotion series by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. For your copyright, December's booklet Peace Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario Postal Code L2R77, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, Zip Code 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Any other questions about these broadcasts, you can write to Tammy Campbell, producer, Canada's National Bible. That email address is tjcampbell@missiongo.org.